Thank you, Your Honor.
I'm Bill Charters. I have the pleasure today to represent Dr. Mary Beth Dixon and her group. Appreciate the opportunity today. This case arises out of a medical malpractice case in the Circuit Court in Norfolk. There are three grounds we assigned as error. There are two assignments of error, including those three grounds. All of those issues, I believe, have been decided in pretty close grounds by this court as recently as this past year. But I'll go through them kind of in a chronologic fashion. The first was, and by way of history, this involves an alleged injury to a bowel during a laparoscopic abdominal hysterectomy, where a trocar is placed and hysterectomy is done through essentially a tube. There was a claim that a bowel was injured during that hysterectomy. The plaintiff produced a single retained expert, an OBGYN, by the name of Soffer, who testified that it was a deviation from the standard of care to not see a perforation in the bowel at the time of surgery and to call a general surgeon to assist. That is the length, breadth, height, and width of his testimony. I should note that the injury to the bowel was not claimed to be negligence, or by the time of the trial, it was not a claim. So the only issue was the recognition of what the plaintiff claimed was a perforation to the bowel. Dr. Soffer essentially testified that, in his opinion, there was a perforation there that was visible, and he said that you would have seen bowel content or liquid feces coming out of the perforation, and that's what should have clued in the surgeons to recognize that and consult the general surgeon. The only people who actually looked were Drs. Dixon and Hughes, who did not see any bowel content or liquid feces in the bowel. So it is our position that the plaintiff had failed to prove that there was a perforation such that you could see bowel content, such that you could recognize. And I know we make a semantic distinction between injury to the bowel and perforation to the bowel. One can occur, and it may, over the course of time, due to devascularization or other issues, become a hole, but the issue was there a hole at the time? There was no testimony as to when the perforation occurred. The treating physicians testified they either didn't know in the case of the general surgeon later on, or in the case of Dr. Hughes and Dr. Dixon, who were there, who said it wasn't there. We didn't see liquid bowel or feces. So our position is that Dr. Soffer's opinion, and I think it's summed up in his opinion, is they should have seen what they should have seen. His position really is just speculation that there was a perforation, that is, there was a hole with feces and bowel content coming out of it, when in fact the only evidence before the court was that there was not at that time. Hence, there was not a perforation to be recognized.
The plaintiff's entitled to reasonable inferences from the facts that they can establish. Correct?
They are.
Well, what you have is an immediate onset of symptoms that would reveal and suggest that there is something, that there is actually a leak, as one of the doctors said, a leak somewhere. And then they actually go in laparoscopically and convert that to an open incision, and they discover it. A copious amount of warm irrigation was required to wash out any contamination that had occurred. But with reasonable inferences flowing to the plaintiff, why is it that that really isn't your issue at this point in time?
Well, it's certainly not the main of the three issues that we raise, but there is no time to that. Certainly sometime before Dr. Barrett, Salzburg Barrett, operated 2 days later, and by the next day, that was when the plaintiff's condition changed. You know, we're talking about a short window of time that the plaintiff claims you should have seen this and recognized it at the end of the procedure and before it's closed up. If there was no perforation there then to be seen, the doctors couldn't have been negligent in not seeing it.
Well, so, but the allegations are that, as supported by expert testimony, that if the surgeon had turned the bowel over, they would have seen it, and that was a standard of care.
I think the issue was that they would have seen bowel content and liquid feces, and that was not visible. The doctor said it was not there, that they examined the bowel.
Well, I'm looking at the expert testimony, and it says, when you're talking about the inspected, I mean not just look at it, but take your laparoscopic instruments, put them inside, turn the bowel upside down, look at it from every angle. If she had done it correctly and diligently, she would have noted that there was a hole. Now, that's the testimony.
I think that's
sufficient to get over this particular issue. Maybe you'd like to move on.
I will move on here. Thank you. The next issue is, as I mentioned, the testimony was that once that hole or perforation was recognized, that a general surgeon needed to be consulted. The only retained expert by the plaintiff was not a general surgeon. He was not designated to talk about causation. He testified that he would not have done the procedure. He testified that he did not know what a general surgeon would have done. The court clearly limited the testimony of Dr. Soffer to that of an OBGYN and the standard of care. The court made it clear many times that causation was not going to come out of Dr. Soffer's mouth. He did not testify. There was no general surgeon ever called to testify as to what would have happened had the general surgeon been called. And had been responsible for her care, what that person would have done. I mean, it is, and if I change the date 14 to 4 and 13 to 6, it is an exact circumstance from Bryan versus Burke. Affording the plaintiff benefit of all inference, one could infer that if the condition had been properly diagnosed on the 6th, on the 4th, Ms. Sublett would have been referred to a surgeon who would have been responsible for her care. The record's silent about the details of that care and its possible effect on the plaintiff's health. There was never a general surgeon who testified. Everyone agreed that the general surgeon is the person who would have carried on her care. There was no testimony that anything different would have occurred had the general surgeon been summoned at the time.
So in theory, for all we knew, a general surgeon would have showed up and said, look, I want to see more diagnostic tests done. I want to spend the day looking at more information on this file, and I'll decide on day two what to do.
Absolutely. And in fact, when the general surgeon finally did see her, the general surgeon didn't know what was wrong. The general surgeon couldn't see this perforation laparoscopically when she saw it 2 days later. For all we know, the general surgeon would have said, it's our practice to wait and see how these things shake out, and we wait a day or two and see how they work out. Maybe we don't operate right away if there's feces in the surgical site, because that's not an appropriate thing to do.
So
we just don't know.
There'd need to be an expert general surgeon saying, if a general surgeon had been called immediately after the operation, they would have immediately performed surgery and not waited 2 days.
This is what a general surgeon would have done, correct. Would have done something different. And to go beyond that, to say what that something different would have been, what the cost of that something different would have been, what her result would have been that would have been different. I mean, maybe the answer is she would have been in worse shape if she had been operated on by a general surgeon on the first day. I mean, I just don't know. It is just pure speculation. And that is what I think Bryan versus Burke has said that you can't eliminate that causation testimony. I mean, as recently as this past year in the Summers case, court again, in this case relying on the statute, 801.20.1, to require that an expert testify as to causation. There just is no causation testimony on this record.
It seems that perhaps the, without calling a general surgeon, the best that the plaintiff has is Dr. Soffer saying it could have been repaired immediately. It could have been repaired immediately. And then we have the testimony of the patient who says within a day after the corrective surgery, I was feeling better. So with those two facts, could this have gone to a jury with at least with regard to diminished pain and suffering, 2 days less of pain and suffering?
Well, first is, and that's where we got into it with the court said that he couldn't talk about causation, so that kind of eliminates the other. Could have, might have, is exactly what this court has innumerable times said. Doesn't reach the level of, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, this is what happened or would have happened. It is, again, just speculation when you start using the could have, may have kind of circumstance.
But even in that scenario, could have and may have, you still have to have expert testimony doing the could have and may have. We don't have the first premise of this.
Correct. We do not have the expert testimony at all. This isn't a question of weighing the expert testimony as to whether, as to the issue number one. This is number two, where there is no expert testimony. Everyone agrees, I think, that there was expert testimony required. The plaintiff, in his response to why wasn't that testimony put on, says, well, because it would have been speculation. Well, that's exactly the point. That's why you have to have an expert. You have to take it out of the realm.
Speculation of what?
As to what her treatment would have been.
And your position is that it might have been best to leave it a day or so.
Correct.
Well, but your own expert was asked, will you agree, this is Dr. Hicks, would you agree with me that it's important to detect a bowel injury that occurs in the laparoscopic hysterectomy as soon as possible? Answer, I would agree with that. And why is that? You would hope that in some cases you'd prefer to have less contents of bowel spillage in the abdomen if you can prevent that. The patient could become sicker. Even your witness said that it was important to do it right away.
But that's the all part of, and do what right away? If this is, again, that's not a general surgeon, because we purposely didn't call our general surgeons because the issue was what a general surgeon would do. The only issue was what would a general surgeon have done when it got to that point, not what an OBGYN would say, as Dr. Hicks, would have been a good idea. You would, of course, like to diagnose things earlier. They make things better. But that's not about Ms. Sublett. In fact, those witnesses said they didn't know when this perforation occurred and when the rest of this came. So they're just saying, as a general rule, sooner's better. And I would think we would all agree that analysis sooner is better, but action is not always better sooner. And you need an expert to say, had I been called, I would have seen all these things and I would have done X. I would have done it on day one. Third issue, very briefly, is the foundation for the medical bills. Dr. Soffer, the McMahon is pretty clear they need to be authentic, reasonable, medically necessary, and rendered necessary by negligence. There was no foundation. The expert had never seen the medical bills before he got on the witness stand to look at them. He never even testified that they were necessary. Even when given the latitude to ask other questions, all he said was that they were authentic and reasonable, which are conceded that they were authentic and they were reasonable in value, but No one testified that they were medically necessary or rendered necessary by any negligence or action on behalf of Dr. Dixon. See, my time has expired. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Mark Favaloro and I represent the appellee and plaintiff below, Donna Sublett. Let me address, if I could, the causation issue. In Howell versus Sobin, 278 Virginia 278, gives the definition that I think governs this case. The proximate cause of an event is an act or omission which, in natural and continuous consequence, unbroken by efficient intervening cause, produces the event and without which the event would not have occurred. The issue of proximate causation, just like negligence, is a question for a jury to decide, and a court should only take it from a jury if no reasonable people can differ on that question.
Is the factual question whether or not a general surgeon would have performed an open incision surgery immediately after the hysterectomy if the preparation had been discovered at that time? Is that the factual issue? Put aside the legalese. Is that the point we're getting at?
I think
as opposed to 2 days later.
Right. I think the point is that a general surgeon would have done exactly what the general surgeon did 2 days later, Dr. Barrett, and that is repair the hole.
What general surgeon, as an expert witness, said that? Because I don't know that, and I don't know that any of the lawyers know that, and surgeons can have differences of opinions on things. And when you lost your causation component of your expert, Sofer, I don't know how causation wasn't immediately taken off the ledger by definition because there's no expert testimony on causation.
There is medical testimony. Expert testimony on proximate cause is not necessarily required from an expert. It's required from a medical provider. In this case, Dr. Barrett, who was designated in the expert designation of the plaintiff, basically said, I came in, I saw the hole, and I fixed it. Just what Dr. Dix said.
Yeah, but didn't Dr. Barrett say, I'm struggling with causation as well. Didn't Dr. Barrett say, I looked for it laparoscopically and I couldn't find it? But by then it was apparent there was something that was dramatically wrong, and Dr. Barrett then did an open incision examination.
Right. She can.
So if indeed even the surgeon couldn't find it laparoscopically, how are we to come to the conclusion that the OBGYN should have found it laparoscopically before the contents had spilled throughout the abdominal cavity?
I think Dr. Sofer answered that question by saying that you have to manipulate the bowel to see that. Now, Dr. Barrett, when she went in, she looked and didn't see it, but she didn't stop. She immediately opened the patient and found that the patient was leaking 1 liter a day of feces into her abdomen.
There's no doubt that there was a perforation, and that there was the issue is, would it have been found laparoscopically on day one? And I don't see where that has been established.
Well, here is the issue on that, and why proximate cause doesn't necessarily relate to that issue. If a surgeon had come in, that surgeon wouldn't know what they were going to find. For instance, Dr. Dixon obviously didn't know she had caused a perforation. But every doctor who testified in this case indicated that you need to fix a hole in a bowel as soon as it happens. And in this case...
What, can you give me the appendix sites for that?
Yes. AJ 203... AJ 424 and AJ 320. That's Dr. Sofer, Dr. Armstrong, and Dr. Hicks.
Okay. Where is the testimony that if she had looked, she would have found it when, in fact, even the surgeon couldn't find it or laparoscopically?
Dr. Dixon herself acknowledged in her own testimony that she perforated the bowel. And that's at...
But I don't think you're following the question.
That's not my question. My question is the causation for the 2-day delay, because essentially what it is, it's a 2-day delay. She perforated the, let's presume, she perforated the bowel.
Right.
Presuming that, if she had found it at the time, an open incision procedure would have been required at that instant.
Right.
Instead, the open incision occurred 2 days later. So it is the 2 days of pain and suffering that are the damages that are being dealt with here.
Right, and the surgery itself, the cost of the surgery itself.
But there is no testimony that it was that she would have found the perforation laparoscopically.
And I would submit to you that type of detail is impossible for any expert post-surgery to come in and make that determination. And I think that's why this is a jury question.
That is so speculative that no expert could testify about it, and that's why it's a jury question? Doesn't that sound a little bit illogical to you?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because when this occurred and Dr. Dixon failed to manipulate the bowel, that question of where the hole was is forever closed off. So imagine the expert comes in, looks at the record, sees that the surgeon could not find the hole. So the expert then says, well, I don't know what I would do. But that's why it was incumbent upon Dr. Dixon to bring in a general surgeon. Her failure here was to even permit the consult to occur.
But the causation point is, if on day one the general surgeon had shown up and said, look, give me all the information we got here, I don't think today I'm going to cut this belly open because I don't have enough information to know exactly what to do, and I want more tests, I want to see how the symptoms progress over the next day or two, and on a moment's notice I may come in here and we'll open her up, but not now.
That's a fair question. But remember what the negligence is here. The negligence was the failure to manipulate the bowel to see the hole. So in that scenario, the doctor makes the perforation, doesn't check. The general surgeon comes in and says, well, geez, I don't see anything. The general surgeon doesn't see anything because the OBGYN failed to manipulate the bowel, in essence, failed to look.
The surgeon is doing the same thing that the OBGYN is doing, arguably, looking through the trocar and trying to see laparoscopically, is there a visible hole?
Right.
So you're still left with, we don't know what the surgeon would have done.
But the failure to manipulate that bowel, the failure to have that opportunity to have a general surgeon who comes in with the experience to know how to repair this perforation has been taken away from the patient. So the doctor made two mistakes. She didn't manipulate the bowel, so she didn't even know that there was a hole.
Suppose the OBGYN tells the general surgeon, look, just trust me, I saw something. And he goes, well, I looked and I didn't see anything. I'm not cutting her open today just on what you saw. I looked myself. I'll be sued if I open her up and find nothing. How do we know that is not exactly the scenario that would have happened without an expert saying, no, 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 judge and lawyers, that's not the way it works. We do it differently. Here's how we do it.
Because I think Dr. Soffer had the ability to say step one is for that surgeon to take the necessary steps to reveal the perforation. Dr. Dixon did not do that. And I don't think Dr. Dixon can then say, well, I didn't uncover the hole, therefore my hole is not visible, therefore, I didn't breach the standard of care. I think the line of cases under Blondell speaks to that issue. And what the cases essentially say is that if you deny a patient the opportunity for recovery, and those were death cases, but if you deny the patient, and there were cancer cases, if you deny the patient the right for a chance to be better, then you can't simply say, we don't know what would have happened. The negligence is the failure to make that consult and to give a general surgeon a chance to look. And that's the problem with this case. She never got the chance to look.
But don't we have to answer the question of what would have happened had she called the general surgeon immediately and given the general surgeon the opportunity
to look? I think the testimony of Dr. Soffer was it would have been repaired quickly. The testimony of Dr. Armstrong, the defense expert, was If there's a nick, you need to find it quickly. And the testimony of Dr. Hicks, the other defense expert, was you need to fix the hole so exactly what happened here, the feces doesn't leak into the...
Do we need that testimony from a general surgeon who would be the person repairing the hole?
I don't think so, because in this case, we have the testimony of the general surgeon who went in, found the hole, and fixed it. This is different.
Do we know why the general surgeon was unable to find the hole laparoscopically?
It could have been a position
was that question
of the trocar.
Question asked.
The question was not asked.
So we have to speculate that either that this is a hole that could not be found laparoscopically under any circumstances, or we could speculate that it couldn't be found because there was 2 liters of bowel contents that were washing around there, or we just simply don't know.
We don't know that answer, yes.
So how can we then say that if Dr. Dixon had manipulated the bowel, that she would have seen the hole that the surgeon couldn't see?
We know that Dr. Dixon acknowledged she made the hole.
I think that's
significant. In what's happening here, in this case, in this scenario, was Dr. Dixon let that hole, if you will, let that hole be pressed against the omentum, the inside of the body. By not manipulating, she doesn't reveal the hole. Had she manipulated that, everybody, again, all the doctors are saying, as soon as you see that feces, you come in and fix it. The negligence is her failure to make that manipulation. Now, counsel talked about the Bryan case.
Is the nick not negligent also, or was that not established?
That was not established. There was an agreement that sometimes bowel injuries happen. And what you must do is you must check the bowel, run the bowel, they call it. You must check the bowel to make sure there's not a hole. And when Dr. Dixon didn't do that, she foreclosed the possibility of fixing that immediately. That's the problem. I don't think there's any question from any of the experts who testified that if a hole in your bowel is found and feces is leaking out of it, you're going to fix it, and you're going to fix it immediately. Dr. Barrett, as soon as she saw it, she didn't wait till the next day. She fixed it immediately.
So hypothetically, if she had manipulated the bowel and she had found the nick at that
the
time,
hole, yeah.
The hole, and had called the general surgeon, and there had been an open incision surgery on day one to fix it,
right,
there would have been no malpractice action. So in other words, the creation of the hole itself was not negligence for purposes of this action.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the only damages that are directly related to negligent action are a 2-day delay.
2 days of excruciating pain,
yeah.
The cost of the surgery.
Well, but wouldn't the cost of the surgery would have been incurred on day one under the best scenario?
That's possible.
You just indicated that's not negligence.
That certainly is possible. But if the repair were made intraoperatively, it would have been the same procedure. It probably would have been less. But it would have been done.
We don't go based upon probably. We go based upon evidence.
But again, if the actions of the doctors prevent the reparative procedures, a doctor should not be able to say, well, you know what, I didn't check for the hole was compressed, therefore I didn't find it, therefore I didn't do anything wrong. What she did wrong was she failed to find the hole. And from that all flowed. Now, the Bryan case is a good example of why that is an issue. Had this been a case where Ms. Sublett died, and we didn't have a general surgeon come in to say, this is what could have happened, this is how we could have fixed it, just as Dr. Barrett did, then yes, that would be fatal. But in this case, we know what should have happened. She should have found the hole, and it should have been fixed, just as all the doctors testified to. So I would just urge the court.
Your argument is it should have been fixed on day one as opposed to 2 days later. Don't you see that's the gap that we're trying to...
It should have been fixed on day one in this pain-suffering... scarring if it could have been fixed intraoperatively if she moved the bowel and found it.
So Barrett, for example, if he'd done his laparoscopic inspection on day one and said, look, I'm not seeing anything, and the OBGYN says, well, I did, you think that we can infer that Dr. Barrett would have said, okay, I'll go with that, and open her right up?
That's what the experts testified to, that when you find a hole, you fix it. The fact that they didn't know exactly how to fix it doesn't mean it doesn't need to be fixed, and it doesn't mean...
So doing exploratory surgery to find the hole that the surgeon doesn't see laparoscopically based entirely on an OBGYN statement is something we should allow a jury to just conclude without expert testimony?
If that surgeon failed to follow the standard of care and discover the hole, what's significant here is that all of this happened because the surgeon failed to find the hole. That's the problem with the case. Time is up.
One more question.
Sure.
Is there any testimony that if the hole had been found immediately, that it could have been fixed laparoscopically?
Yes. Dr. Soffer said that. Oh, I'm sorry, laparoscopically.
Now, he wasn't allowed to testify that it could be done laparoscopically.
Not laparoscopically.
Only that it would be done immediately if he found it.
And that Dr. Soffer did testify, and I believe this is at 203, that if it had been found, it would have been repaired and repaired quickly, and that would have saved the pain that the patient had.
But we don't know. So in other words, we can't say that the cost of an open incision surgery was caused by the negligence.
The
we don't know.
Right. Again, because we never found the hole, and it all flows from there.
Okay.
The court will be in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.